when I was in the hospital last Friday and talked to little Marilyn Mooney and told her about her fiancé being dead. For those of you who are not aware, your visitors, seven of our teenagers were in a car recently, and they had a collision. The driver, young lad, was killed immediately, or at least very soon, dead on arrival, I guess, at the hospital. Two of our teenage girls, 17 and 18 years of age, have been at the point of death. One has been in a coma ever since. That's been a week and a half ago. The other was engaged to the driver who was killed. The doctors felt we could not tell her of the death of her fiancé, and so for a week and a half she lived thinking that he was alive. She wrote him notes. She even sent him a birthday card on his birthday, not knowing that all the time he had gone to heaven. People ask me this question, said, what did Marilyn say when you told her? I told the Lord, coming out of that hospital the day, I said, Lord, I've just about told all the bad news I believe I can tell for a while. I'm not complaining, but I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me strength I don't have right now. If you've got any more sad news, I've got to break to people. I do not know of anything that takes it out of me emotionally, like looking at somebody and saying, your husband's dead, or your daddy's gone, or your fiancé is gone. Marilyn cried, and I guess the first thing she said, apart from grief, was the same thing that she would have said. I would have said, I'm sure. Something like this. She said, it isn't fair. It isn't fair. He wasn't even 20, just in his older teens. It isn't fair. We were going to get married. We went down that very day to look at the rings. It isn't fair. Don't be hard on Marilyn. You would have said the same thing or thought the same thing. And to be quite frank with you, looking at it from my standpoint, it doesn't look fair. It isn't fair. So I've had to do a lot of squeezing lately of Romans 8:28. And I had no other choice tonight but to speak on it. It's on my mind. I couldn't go any other way. I have no greatly prepared message. I had one that I think was well prepared, but I can go no other direction other than remind you that all things do work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Remember, don't forget who's speaking. Who wrote this verse? The Apostle Paul did. Don't forget who's speaking. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Who was this? This was the Apostle Paul, who, within a few days after his conversion, had his life threatened. And the Jews tried to kill him. It was Paul, whose life was constantly in jeopardy, who said, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. It was Paul, whose own family, no doubt, had a funeral service for him shortly after he got born again and pronounced him as dead. It was Paul who lost his family, lost his nation, lost his friends, lost his loved ones, who wrote, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Who was it who wrote these words? It was Paul, who was expelled from the church in Antioch, or the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, who wrote, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Who was it that penned these words? It was Paul, who was stoned in the city of Iconium, and he was killed, stoned to death,
and lay dead for a while before he was resurrected, it was he who wrote, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." It's not easy for you to sit in an air-conditioned church auditorium and say that. It's not easy to sit in the luxury of your home with your Bible at night and say, "All things work together for good." A little harder when your life is threatened. A little harder when you're put in prison. A little harder when the gun is pointing at your head or you're facing the guillotine. A little harder when they're picking up stones to stone you. A little harder when you're bleeding and your head is aching and you have knots on your head and broken bones and the enemy is looking down hoping you'll die and threatening to kill you. A little harder then. It was he who said, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Who wrote these words? It was Paul, the one who was jailed at Philippi and beaten before he was jailed and beaten again at Ephesus, who wrote, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Who wrote this amazing verse? It was Paul, who was seized in Jerusalem. It was Paul who spent his last years in that dark dungeon of a cell in the Mamertine prison, that dark, dingy, damp cell. It was Paul who said, "And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." It was Paul who had no wife to greet him after a sermon to say, "You're the greatest preacher in all the world." It was Paul who had no children to greet him to say, "You're the greatest preacher who ever lived." It was he who wrote the words, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Who was it who wrote these words? It was Paul, who had no deacon board, who had no church to say amen, who went from place to place, hated, persecuted, threatened, beaten, stoned. It's Paul who wrote, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." What did he say? He said, "We know." He didn't say, "We think." "We know." By the word, wait, there are two words here for know. There's the word gnosko in the Greek, which means we know something factually, like I know a person. But the word oida, O-I-D-A, which is used here, it means that we know, we discern, we have a discernment or a perception. It is the final conclusion. It is the judge's verdict. It is the jury's decision. Paul said, "I have weighed all the facts. I have had the suffering. I have had the sunshine. I have had the shadows. I have had the rain. I have had the warm. I have had the cold. I have had the good. I have had the bad." And Paul said, "After all of the evidences in, all the pain, all the sorrows, all the heartache," Paul said, "I found that I know, not I knew or I hear, I know after all the evidences in, everything works together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to his purpose." The word here is the same word that we use for secret order. There's something that the Masons, I'm not a Mason, never will be, never could be, but there's something that the Masons have. They know some things we don't know. They know some things they ought not to know too, probably. But they know some things we don't know. And they have some knowledge because they belong to an organization or an institution that we do not belong, to which we do not belong. And they know something. And Paul said, "We have a little secret order. We who've seen the sunshine and the clouds. We who've seen life and death. We who've seen the bright and the cloudy. We who've seen the good and the bad. We who've seen the high and the low. Those of us who love God. Those of us who love him with all of our hearts and live to do his will. We know something nobody else knows. We know that everything that happens to us is for good if we love God and if we're in his will." What did he say? We know that all things, yes, all things. But you say, Brother Hiles, I can understand why honor works for good. Yes, I understand it, but God likes it when you believe that dishonor works together for good. You say, Brother Hiles, I can understand why the sunshine and the victors work together for good. Yes, I know, but God says that the clouds and the rain and the shadows and even defeat work together for good. Paul said, we know that all things. Does that mean that when the head of our music department is suddenly taken in death, that works together for good? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Does that mean when a little lady in her just around 30 years of age, whose husband is suddenly taken, and a little girl, 5 years of age, has to deal with that daddy? You mean, that's for good? Yes, that's for good if you love God and if you're in His purpose. Of course it is. I wrote the little Celia girl a letter, offered to be her daddy. Miss Celia came by the office of the day for an appointment, and she had little Tammy with her. Little Tammy said, you're my daddy now. And I said, you better know I'm your daddy. She said, you going to be my daddy from now on? I said, I'm going to be your daddy from now on. She said, when are you going to move in our house? I'm not going to write any more letters like that. You say, preacher, do you mean that a little girl, 5 years of age, suddenly without a daddy, that it's for good? Yes, if you love God and you're called according to His purpose, it's for the good. You said, you mean when a 17-year-old girl lies in a coma at Dire Mercy Hospital tonight, and that little girl has not even been conscious for a week and a half, and she's one of our own little girls here. And by the way, do you ache now like you did a week and a half ago? Do you cry now like you did a week and a half ago? We're awfully depraved, aren't we? We're awfully depraved. Oh, it first happens. Oh, my. Still it's on my mind. She's still in a coma. She's still fighting for breath. This kind of friendship that it's okay just for a little while, and after a while we get busy buying and selling and eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and have no burden and forget to pray and have no heartache and carry no heavy load. That's not Bible Christianity. You say, preacher, could it be possible that little Sharon Stromberg tonight, lying there, unconscious in a coma, could it be possible that that's for the good? The Bible says all things. All things. Brother Hiles, you mean Brother Hiles, do you mean also a fiance being killed? All things. Do you mean that our little teenagers lying there between life and death? All things. You say, you mean, Brother Hiles, when somebody slaps these days a 2.5 million lawsuit on our church as they have, you mean that's for our good? All things. You mean, Brother Hiles, when our bus, when somebody, some folks shot at our school bus, could that be for good? Paul says all things. Does that include the pastor's house being burglarized and hundreds of dollars of things stolen in the pastor's house? Paul says all things. Does that include the youth center last night being burglarized? Dave Hiles lost $1,400 of his own personal belongings plus several thousand dollars of church equipment. Does that mean that's for the good? Paul says all things. Does that mean that Hiles Anderson College guard was hit out there over the head and left unconscious, and they thought they left him dead? Is that for the good? Paul says all things. Does that mean when the pastor's two daughters were chased down the street here, five men or so barely got in their car before they were attacked by five wicked, lustful, vile, sensuous man? Is that for good? Bible says all things. I've never, in any 5 years of my life, seen so many direct attacks of Satan as I've seen in the last 3 months. You say, preacher, why has it happened? I do not know why. But I know two things. I know I love God more tonight than I've loved Him in all my life. And I know that if God told me tonight to go to Lower Slobovia, I'd go to Lower Slobovia. And I know tonight that I'm in the perfect will of God for my life, that I love Him, and that means, as sure as I'm an inch high, that means that every one of these things, every one of them, if our church loves Him and is in His will, work together for good. All things. I didn't understand it when I was a boy, why we were so poor. I understand now. I didn't understand when I was a boy why my dad came home drunk Saturday night after Saturday night. I understand it now. I didn't understand back yonder when my dad died a drunkard's death and I knelt on his grave and prayed and cried for hours and hours and hours. I said, why? I didn't know then. I understand it now. And let me tell you something, folks. I've been working for God long enough to know that there's a reason why the clouds come as well as the sunshine. And God has a purpose for the rain as well as the fair days. There's a purpose why little Sharon Stromberg lies tonight in a coma. There's a purpose why that 17-year-old boy or 18 was killed suddenly in a car wreck. There's a reason why Jim Salee was taken from us. There's a reason, and I know it. You say, I can't see it. Aren't you glad you can't? Aren't you glad you can't? I'd hate to have a God that I could figure out. I'd hate to have a God so puny that my little mind could understand what He does. You say, preacher, what are you going to do? I'm just going to get a whole heap of Romans 8:28 and stuff it in a sack and eat it every day. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe God, that God knows what's best. And you mark it down, He knows what's best. Look at Abraham going to give Isaac on Mount Moriah. How could this be right? How could this be good? I do not know, but it was. Look at Ezekiel, preaching on a street corner. God bless Ezekiel. Standing there, tears rolling down his cheeks, blood off his face, stones hitting him in the head, people hissing, threatening to kill him. Look at him, preaching his heart out. Turns to walk home. He walks toward his house and sees the light is a little dimmer than usual. His wife meets him at the door, places a kiss on his cheek and tells him she's proud of him, I think. Ezekiel walks inside the house and his wife says, sweetheart, something happened today. Ezekiel says, what is it? She said, the baby died. Ezekiel looks up to God and says, dear God, why? I can't understand it. I've been preaching for you down there on the street, and you know it. I've been faithful. You asked me to be a watchman on the wall, and I've been a watchman. You asked me to warn the people of their iniquity, and I've done it. Why? See Ezekiel. Not follow a hearse. Have you ever seen a funeral in the East when they don't have cars? They carry, like you'd carry a fellow on a stretcher, they carry that down a little trail. And the processional is a processional of folks walking behind them. Can you see Ezekiel? Heartbroken. Standing beside his wife, walking beside his wife. Going to a little place, a little cemetery in Babyland. They lay that baby away. Next morning, Ezekiel's back where he was before, standing on the street corner preaching. Days pass and weeks pass and months pass. There's Ezekiel standing on the street corner preaching. A watchman on the wall. One night he comes home, faces splattered with blood, knots on his head and on his face, tears streaming down his cheeks. People have laughed at him and stoned him and hissed at him all the day long. Ezekiel comes home to the one comfort that he had. He had a loving wife who loved to greet him when he came home. A warm meal and a tender embrace and a loving kiss, and you're the greatest preacher I know. This night Ezekiel comes toward the house, waiting for that embrace, waiting for that encouragement, waiting for that warm meal. He gets close to the house and sees the house is mighty dark. He walks up on the front porch and a neighbor walks out and says, "Ezekiel, your wife got pretty sick today. They don't know if she'll make it through the night." Ezekiel walks in, looks in the tender, loving face of his wife. Those lips that had kissed him so often now are stilled. That voice that had spoken words of encouragement now is quiet. Those eyes that had beamed of love with him now are closed. That mouth that once had opened in a smile of encouragement now is motionless. Ezekiel looks at his wife, and then finally sometime during the night, he reaches down and kisses her while she's alive for the last time, and soon her lips grow cold. He places his hand on her head, and he feels her wrist and finds there's no pulse. Why? I don't know why, but God knew why. All things work together for good to those who love God. Look at Job. Look at Job. One day a messenger came. "Job, your money's gone." "Came again." "Your cattle are gone." "Came again." "Your sheep are gone." "Came again." "Your donkeys are gone." "Came again." "Your oxen are gone." "Came again." "Your children are gone." 10 children, all of them dead. Wasn't long till Job lost his health, lost everything he had. His wife came and said, "Curse God and die." "I don't understand it," Job said, "maybe. Why, my wife and I had to walk down behind 10 caskets. And lay in the grave side beside our 10 children. I don't understand why." You don't have to understand why. I've said so often here and elsewhere, I'm so glad about one thing. Job got twice as many sheep back because he stood the test. He got twice as many camels back because he stood the test. He got twice as many oxen back because he stood the test. He got twice as many donkeys back because he stood the test. And he got 10 children back. You say, "Preacher, why didn't he get twice as many children?" "Because when donkeys die, they're dead. When sheep die, they're dead. When oxen die, they're dead. When camels die, they're dead. When children die, they're not dead." He did have twice as many children. I've often said this. I'm so glad that he had 10 more. You know why? Because that wife of his that came, "Why don't you curse God and die?" God said, "That did it. You're going to stay pregnant 10 years. I'm glad about that. She ate so many sour pickles till she... I'm glad about that. She could have made a river with her regurgitation. I'm glad about that. Job could have said, "I don't understand it." You don't have to understand it. As long as he understands it, that's all you've got to worry about. What did he say? We know that all things, what else did he say, work together. Those words mean fit the design. A painting needs some dark colors as well as bright colors. A song needs some low notes as well as high notes. In a good game, the opponent needs to score some points as well as the victor scoring some points. All things work together for good. I don't understand what's going on in our church. I don't understand it, really. I mean, I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why the lawsuits. I can't tell you why the staff problem with the $66,000 the schools had to pay to the IRS for back Social Security. I can't tell you why Mr. Salee was taken. I can't tell you why little Tammy has no father. Now, I can't tell you why Mrs. Salee has lost her husband. I can't tell you why these little girls are near death. I can't tell you why that boy was gone, but I know one thing. One of these days, we're going to look back and we're going to know why. We're going to know why. We're going to get to heaven where our Father is and look down, and he's going to say, "Now, you see that?" And we're going to say, "I declare." So that's why. That's one thing wrong with this country. Bunch of pinhead, so-called educated idiots trying to figure out God and say, "I just don't see it." Well, of course you don't see it. "But I'm a PhD and I don't see it." That's one reason you can't see it, you fool. That's right. Nothing personal there. "But I majored in psychology." I know. You majored in idiocracy, too. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And you're a fool if you don't believe this book. You believe in God Almighty. You don't have to understand. The difference in the believer who's in the will of God is that believer looks up to God Almighty and says, "Dear God, to me it looks like everything is all going wrong, but I know one thing, everything's all going right because I believe you when you said all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." What did he say? All things work together for good. For good? If you'll check that word, the word for good, and it's all one word in the Greek, check that word for good, you'll find it means for God's good first. For God's good. I'm afraid far too often we don't understand what that verse really means. We say all things work together for good. We mean my good. That's the old selfish nature coming out again, isn't it? Brother, if it doesn't work together for your good, thank God it happened. It works together for His good. What the apostle is saying is this. Okay, I had to suffer. I never had a wife to chair my ministry. I never had children to encourage me. Never had deacons to encourage me. Never had a church to encourage me. I've been hated, persecuted, beaten, killed, stoned. But he said, one thing I know. All that's happened to me is for God's good. And brother, if God can get some good out of my tears, I want to cry. If God can get some good out of my pain, I want to suffer. If God can get some good out of my burden, I want to carry the burden. If God can give me a load and get some good out of it, I want to carry that load. Oh, these selfish natures of ours. But I hasten to say, if it's for God's good, it's also for my good. What did he say? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called. The called. That word called in the Greek means invited. Those who are invited and accept the invitation to live in the will of God. And those who love God. Now one reason why I know that all of this is for our good and for God's good. And I told the Lord this. Afternoon, last night. I said, "Lord, if you want the area to laugh at us, if you want the whole country to say, we thought Hiles could pray down that $2.5 million, and we thought First Baptist Church in Hammond could get it. I said, Lord, if you want me to be a spectacle across America, if you'll get some good out of it, it's okay with me. It's okay with me." I said, "Lord, I'm in your will and you know it. I'm where you want me to be. I'm doing what you want me to do. And you know it. And God, you know I love you." I like what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, "Love him so much and serve him so much. So that when you look up to God and say, 'Dear Jesus, I love you,' Jesus can look down and say, 'I know it, Charles.'" And that's what I want God to say to me. When I say, 'Dear Jesus, I love you,' I want Jesus to say, 'I know it, Jack. I don't love him like I'm going to, or like I ought to. And I don't love him as much as I'm going to love him when this old flesh is gone and never gets tired and weary anymore. But I love him tonight more than I've ever loved him in my life. And he knows that's true. And what little mind I have, I love him with all of it. And what little heart I have, I love him with all of it. And what little strength I have, I love him with all of it. And what little soul I have, I love him with all of it. So what are you going to do? I'm going to trust him. I'm going to come to the casket, look in the face of my beloved brother, and weep. And say, "Lord, I can't figure it out, but thank God you can." I'm going to answer the phone as I did this morning. I know I've answered the phone 15 times in the last 2 months, to hear bad news, heartache,
tragedy, sorrow. I wonder who it's going to be next. I'm just going to answer it and say hello. And Mrs. Schultz is going to say, Brother Hiles, we've had a wreck again. Seven of our kids coming home from school. One is killed and two are near death. I'm going to wipe a tear. And I'm going to say, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And I'm going to go to the hospital. And I'm going to see that bandage around her little head. And I want to see that dried blood on her face and some still oozing from scars. And I'm going to say, is that her? Is that she? Could that be Sharon? And I'm going to look at the blood oozing from her face. And my lips are going to quiver, and I'm going to say, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Those are the called according to His purpose. And I'm going to read that long thing that I hate to get, where it says you're supposed to appear in court and so forth and so on. And I'm going to wonder why anybody would want to attack a church like that, trying to do right and help people. And I'm going to be frustrated and wonder why. But I'm going to say we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then I'm going to go home and find the house all torn up and find the drawers all emptied and find a bunch of stuff gone. And I'm going to say, I don't know why, but we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I'm going to answer the telephone, hear David's voice early on a Sunday morning saying, Dad, they got everything. They got it all this time at the youth center. They got Paula's ring. They got electric razors, three watches, three electric typewriters, thousands of dollars worth of stuff. And I'm going to say, I can't understand it. And I'm going to hang the telephone up and feel like I don't want to talk to anybody for a while. And I'm going to say, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Marilyn, you're a sweet girl, but you're wrong. God is fair. He's always fair. You can't see it now. But someday you will. God's fair. God's fair. And God's good. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Maybe, Marilyn, maybe God looked down and saw that Bill was going to have a serious disease. Maybe God saw him dying with cancer over a period of a year or two. And God said, I don't want him to go that way. Let's just take him on the quick way to heaven. Maybe that's it. Maybe God saw a war and saw him suffering. Maybe a double amputee or something. I don't know. But don't you forget, Marilyn, God's good.
Amen.
God's good. And it's always fair. God makes no mistakes. God never says, uh-oh. He never says, I'll declare. Oh, I didn't know that. All of our lives are charted by Him. And I'm old enough, Marilyn, to look back over 50 years almost a half a century. And I'm old enough to remember when I looked up to God one night, all that long, as a little boy, and said, why did my daddy leave? Why did my daddy leave? I'm old enough now to know why. I'm old enough now to understand. Why? Marilyn, I'm old enough now to look back and remember my mother on my sixth birthday buying me five little pieces of candy, called them chocolate soldiers. Can't call them that anymore. Call them Afro-American warriors. But Marilyn, I remember standing outside Libby's grocery store on my sixth birthday, we're transferring the Trinity High streetcar to the Lisbon bus. And Mother said, son, this is your birthday. Happy birthday. And she walked in the store and got a nickel, all she had. and put it on the counter and said, give me 5 little chocolate soldiers. She came out on the street corner, sang happy birthday to me. No cake, no gift, 5 little penny pieces of candy. I didn't understand why then. But Marilyn, I understand now. And you'll live long enough, Marilyn. You'll live long enough. For you'll find out that God was fair. He's always fair. He knows what's best. God knows if I need to be knocked down. God knows if I need to lie awake at night and cry. God knows if I need to have a burden that feels like it's going to break in too. God knows it. And God knows exactly what this whole church needs. He knows exactly what Alexanderson College needs. And He makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. I've told you this before, but I thought about it so often in the last few days. When I was in college, the head of our Bible department, Dean Smith, we called him. Oh, there are better Bible teachers, and I've tried to think of a worse. But he was a good old guy. I love the old rascal. Couldn't preach his way out of a paper sack. Couldn't preach his way into one. It's open. But I love the old guy. He didn't think heaven had real golden streets. Bless his dumb heart. He knows it now. He's up there. Poor guy. He didn't believe that the Lord's going to come back with horses and all the saints riding on white horses. Poor fella. God's had those horses braying in his face for years now. Poor old Dean. I loved him. He was very sweet. He was a millennialist. He's a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial, pre-tribulation raptures now. Poor old Dean. When he comes back on one of those horses, he's going to blush when he sees me. God bless him. He didn't believe in a millennium. When the kingdom comes, I'm going to hang around an awful lot and say, nyeh, 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 nyeh. But I loved him. He was a sweet old man. He could have believed the truth if he hadn't been messed up with some poor Bible teachers and some colleges. The fellows couldn't succeed in the pastorate, so they decided to teach in seminary. That's not talking about all you teachers anyhow. We need you to stay. But anyway, old Dean, we went to Bible class one morning. It was in his class I first saw the sword of the Lord for the first time. And Dr. Rohr came to class. He said, men, women, Dean Smith is near death. He had a car accident. He's near death. His daughter, only daughter, was killed instantly. And Dean hovered between life and death for many, many weeks. We prayed for him because we loved him. Word came that Dean was going to make it. He came back to class. When he walked in, we all stood and gave him a standing ovation. He stood up before us, asked us to be seated like this. Lips began to quiver and tears rolling down his cheeks. His only daughter was in eternity. And with quivering lips and his very weak voice, he said, young men, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And they do. They do. They do. They do! Thank God they do! And they will. And when the battle's over, and the last tear is shed, And the last soul is won, and the last time has been raised. And we rise to meet the Lord in the air. The Lord's going to show us the blueprint for our lives. And we're going to look at the blueprint. And I'm going to look at the Lord and say, you're smarter than I thought you were. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, wait a minute. You better be sure you love Him. And you better be sure you're in His will. Our Heavenly Father, it's been a little unusual tonight, and yet I needed to preach to Jack Hiles tonight. And I'm glad that a few folks listened in on the sermon I preached to me. I just wanted to hear it again, Lord. Be reminded again. I remind all of our people of this great truth. Thank you that that you thought to put it in the Bible. Lord, if you had left that verse out, it's been an awful, rough old road for many of us through these years. Thank you that you put it in. And because you did, we're just going to believe you. And Lord, if you don't want to tell us why, we won't even ask you to. We'll just trust you and find out why a little later. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Do you love Him tonight? Are you in His will? Do you love Him? Are you in His will? That's the only person that can say all things work together for good. No, you can't say it if you don't love Him. And that word love is not some little font. It's not phileo, it's agape. It's deep, abiding love for God. If you love Him and you're in His will, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Maybe tonight God has spoken to your heart along the trail. Maybe your love has grown cold. Maybe the will of God is no longer the biggest thing in your life. Maybe you have doubts in your mind. Maybe you've doubted God. And maybe you've tried to blame God a little bit. Oh, don't do that. No, God is good. God is good. God is good. God's way is the best way. His way is the right way. I'll trust in Him always. He knoweth the way. You need to use the altar tonight to confess a sin. You use it. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I'm not even a Christian. I don't even know that I would go to heaven if I died. So I cannot say all things work together for good for me. Brother Hiles, pray for me. I'd like to be saved and know it. I'd like to know that I'm a Christian. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building? If you don't know that you're saved, God bless you way back on the back. Who else? You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did. Say, pray for me. Lift your hand quickly, please. Well, if I raise your hand if you don't know that your name is in heaven, that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Would you lift it way up high, please? Who else? God bless you. Who else? Quickly, would you raise it? In a few moments, the choir's going to sing. Yes, I see you in the balcony. God bless you. I want you that do not know that you're saved to leave your seat and come down the aisle and receive Christ. I want you that are saved but have not yet been baptized, I want you to come. If you need to join this church by transfer, I want you to come. Now, if you're coming for salvation or baptism or church membership, we have our men here at the altar and they'll meet you. If you're just coming to transact some business with God, you come and kneel here at the altar. Our Heavenly Father, bless this invitation and bless these whose hands were raised and these who were not but should have been. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?